This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, June 16, 2021. The Memorial of St. Richard of Chichester by Father William Doc Holliday.
I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts be accepted in my sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The prophet Ezekiel was made a watchman for the house of Israel. A watchman on Zion's walls, so to speak. St. Peter was made the rock upon which Jesus Christ built his church. He wants that. He wants people who stand firm for his faith. He wants people that will be rocks, that will be rigid and unbending when it comes to the truths of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what we should be praying for, what we should desire beyond all belief, because in our day, such men are lacking. But they're not gone. And the ones that are trying to be stalwart are being stalwart. We need to bathe them with prayers, because the church is replete with examples. All of the saints stood firm for the faith. Saints, men and women, are saints now because they desired to and did reform the church. Unfortunately, in their day and age, reforming the church was getting it back to the way it was before, not changing it into something different. This is the modernist definition of reform. God will have none of it. God wants people to stand firm because the times are always tumultuous. We have never seen as tumultuous a time for the church as we do in our day. But it's never been a glassy sea, so to speak. Tonight is a good one. Come up with a quiz. Okay, we're going to take a quiz tonight. I'm going to give you a piece of paper, and I want you to write down five things about St. Richard of Chichester. People be like, huh? Yeah, not one of the biggies. You don't find him in the calendar unless you're in the Ordinaria. But he is a saint of Holy Catholic Church. St. Richard of Chichester, English bishop. He was elected bishop in 1244. Back in the day. And like I said, it's never been a glassy sea. He was elected bishop, and the king, Henry III, and part of the chapter, the group that oversees churches, refused to accept him. So they had their own man. They wanted him elected. There was a standoff. St. Richard went to the Pope, as did the other guy. The Pope said, well, of course it's Richard, because he was elected legally. And so grudgingly, they wouldn't allow, the king wouldn't allow him to be consecrated in England. So the Pope came up to France and consecrated him in France. And then he went back to England and he returned to Chichester. But the king refused to restore any of the stuff that he had stolen from that particular diocese while he was gone, and he did so only after a couple of years when he was threatened with excommunication. At least they had this going for them. They lived in a day when the governing officials at least feared God. They didn't really fear ecclesiastical authorities all that much, but they did fear God, and you start throwing out the excommunication word at them, okay. But he gave all the money back that he had taken from the diocese, but he forbade anyone in his kingdom to house or feed Richard of Chichester. So, you know, his life still isn't hunky-dory. He didn't care because he was like that anyway. He wore a hair shirt. He would not eat off of silver utensils, only wooden utensils. He was an ascetic. It was great. He's the real deal. That's why the king didn't particularly like him. Because why? Because he was a man who focused on Christ and on Christ alone and really didn't give two shakes of a lamb's tail about what the king wanted. As time goes on, everybody's raising their eyebrows about Richard, because this isn't a term that you use most often for bishops, particularly, he was merciless. He was merciless to people who lent money for usury. He was merciless to corrupt clergy and priests, particularly those who, as it says, mumbled the mass, merciless against them. And this sounds almost contradictory. He was a stickler for clerical privilege. But if you really think about it, if you approach the clerical state the way it should be approached, that is exactly how it should be. St. John Eudes wrote a book, and I don't require much of the seminarians who come here, but I require them to read St. John Eudes' book, because the title of it is The Priest, His Obligations and His Dignity. Both of those things go hand in hand. He has a dignity as being a priest, and it should be recognized. But there are many, many obligations that go with that dignity. So it's good that Richard was merciless against corrupt priests and be a stickler for clerical privilege. His episcopate was marked by such cool things as he really loved the Dominicans because they watched out for him. When the king said, nobody's allowed to, they're forbid, they let him into a Dominican house, both in France and in England. So he really liked the Dominicans. And his earnest preaching of crusade, he's the man. You hear that a lot in continental Europe, but this guy's in England preaching crusades, okay? But then that's where we get Richard the Lionhearted and things like that. So he was really into doing what he was supposed to do as a bishop. He actually wrote some statutes, some episcopal statutes, St. Richard did at the time, and it's always been a thing. There's always been married clergy here and there. But if it was legitimate, illicit, it was at the permission of Rome. It was after a rescript was given. In England in this day and time, there were a bunch of priests who took it upon themselves to get married on the side. It sort of like goes on in South America now from what we hear. Everybody does it. Well, everybody should stop. And if there was a bishop like Richard of Chichester, they would. Because he came down very hard on the married clergy that were there, because, again, the vast majority of them had not received rescript from Rome to do such a thing. So he did, and a lot of people are, oh, that's uncharitable, St. Richard, because, okay, you're civilly, you're married, it's a natural marriage. A lot of you have kids and everything. How about this one? Those concubines that you have, because he would not call them their wives, he says, those concubines you can have, guess what? They benefit from nothing, from the church, meaning the sacraments, as long as they live and after they die, because he looked at that as such a grave sin for a woman to have married a priest. He would not allow for them to receive any beneficence for the church. Like their husband, the priest, died, they got nothing from the church, and they had no claim on anything that was their husband's. Lands, property, nothing. Again, it sounds uncharitable, but it's not. He is confronting them with sin, all right? And that is mortal sin to the 10th degree. So they just paid the debt for that. He wouldn't have it. He actually, this is another one of his statutes, tithing, people are, my 10%, what about this? What about, well, that's an Old Testament thing for one thing. You're supposed to give sacrificially. As long as you're giving something, let your conscience be your guide. St. Richard of Chichester said, if you don't tithe, you're excommunicated until you do. Okay? No sacraments for you. Not actually, well, excommunicated. You weren't allowed to go to confession. So, which again, in a God-fearing place, that was pretty good. I like this one. Because I'm into the older, more Eastern-leaning thing. He mandated that children are to be confirmed within a year of their baptism. I kind of like that, okay? Different subject for a different day. He demanded that the people learn the Apostles' Creed and the Lord's Prayer in their language. My, how times have changed. You know, most people couldn't even begin to say it in Latin anymore, but back in those days, they just memorized it by rote in Latin. And he said, I demand that the children be taught the Apostles' Creed and the Lord's Prayer in the mother tongue, English. I'll quote this one. I synopsize the other ones. I quote, priests who clipped or slurred the words by rushing were to be suspended. The clergy should wear their proper dress and not imitate what the lay people wear. They are not allowed to wear their hair long. The names of excommunicated persons are to be read out four times a year in the parish. How about that one? You know, all these people in the second marriage thing and all the, hey, it's quarterly. Here they are. Here's the list of them. You know, your parish, they probably missed that Sunday. These are his episcopal statutes. These are the rules that he laid out for, I mean, explicitly for his diocese. Men like this are what we want. It seems pretty hard case. Pray God they're shining like bright stars nowadays. Because it is so dark, they're shining like bright stars. You know, Father Altman, you know, Bishop Strickland, Bishop Athanasius Schneider, all these guys, and everybody knows their name. Why? Because they're faithful. Isn't it sick that we know, we can usually recite a list of faithful bishops and priests in this world? It's sick. It is a state of affairs. That's why we need to pray for more people like St. Richard of Chichester. Now, like I said before, you know, most people that are in the church don't even know his name. But I mean, he is accounted one of many thousands of saints who are saints because of the same thing, men and women. St. Teresa of Avila, the Carmelites were a basket case, hot mess. When she's in her novitiate, she's like, I got to change this. So she fixes things. And what did she do? She came up with a bunch of new things. No, she didn't. Just the opposite. I'm sick and tired of these new things. Let's do what we have always done. We got that going for us. That's why they're saints now. That's why they're saints, and that's why they have always been called saints. This St. Richard of Chichester, he is just more a patrimonial saint for the order. One of the commentaries that I was reading for this, and it was just a secular thing that I was reading, because there were some words in the prayer that we would open today, and the colic. And actually, if you know anything, I'm not even going to say, there's a song. It was written in the 70s. It's very 70s, called Day by Day. To see thee more clearly, follow thee more nearly, love thee more dearly, day by day. The reason I say it kind of sticks in my craw, because it comes from a rock opera called Godspell, very 70s. I'm sure the Novus Ordo world probably loved it to death, okay, because it made, you know, kind of really lightens up the whole gospel message. But that was a song in there, and it rings in my ears. And the first time I ever read this, I was like, ah, it's day by day, yuck. And I was like, oh, it's St. Richard of Chichester's words, okay, they just hijacked them. This is a prayer that the man spoke. Actually, if you step back and look at the words, if you can, you know, those things that you need mental floss, brain bleach to get them out of your head. You just can't. That's one of those. There's nothing I can do to correct it. Even though that I know they're St. Chichester's words, it still bothers me because of the 30-year background that I have on that song. Anyway, he's very patrimonial. The commentary that I was reading, again, this is a secular thing. A portion of the prayer has been incorporated into the liturgy of the Roman Catholic Church for use by the personal ordinariates established to bring the Anglican patrimony into the church. Observance of the memorial of St. Richard of Chichester is 16 June, is inscribed in the calendar of Divine Worship, the Missal. You don't find this in the Roman Missal. And they're probably just as happy that you don't. Because why? Because of what he did. And what he said, and what he was about. That's why, for instance, they put the kibosh on Bishop Sheen's cause for canonization. Why did they do that? Why have they done that recently, within the past couple years? Why did they put the kibosh on that? Because do you think that the administration of the church now wants in any way the faithful looking at Archbishop Fulton Sheen as a saint. That is tremendously problematic for them. Okay, so what do we do? We'll just stop this whole thing. For no cause, particularly, let's just stop this. Hey, let's put Bishop Richard Chichester in the Roman canon for everybody. There'd be all kind of sophistry going on as to why that probably really wouldn't apply. He was in England. This is the Roman Catholic Church. You know, whatever it would be, something fallacious and something, again, sophistry being used. These men are the ones for whom we want to focus our intercessions. We want these men and women praying for us. We need St. Teresa of Avila praying for us. We need St. Therese praying for us. We need St. Richard of Chichester praying for us, because they were all about getting back to the way things are supposed to be, not being innovative, not trying to appeal to the world, not even trying to appeal to, go figure, the government officials. Could you imagine having some bishops now that would infuriate the President of the United States? I mean, we got some of them. They're trying. Pray God that they succeed in infuriating him. We need to be infuriating people. You know, it's got to start in the Catholic Church. We need to start infuriating them. I didn't say be uncharitable. If you're going to show them charity, you know what they're going to be? Infuriated. We need to start doing that. All the saints have, they've always done that. You think his priests, particularly the married ones, dug on what he was doing? No. Back in those days, priests would get together and try to kill their bishop if he tried to tighten things up. But the good ones did it anyway. And they're saints now of Holy Church. This is what we need to pray for. This is reality of the situation in which we live. You know, we need to be very direct. I've been saying time and time again, we got to stop using their language. We got to stop head nodding when, you know, some guy introduces another guy as his husband. You know, no, absolutely not. You cannot do it. You cannot do it. You got to confront it, infuriate them. This is what he was about. This is what our Lord was about. Last time I looked, that happened to him because he infuriated the religious authorities of his day. But he's God, all right? So I think we're in good company. In the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Ghost.